Is it on? It's on. Are you awake? Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. My apologies. I must have hit that button as I was putting the thing on. Special welcome to all the visitors. I see Malin, Irene, and their family. I don't know all of you, but I know you belong to the family. So welcome this morning. Eric, it's good to see you. And Davey and Hannah are here. Good to see you. Who else am I missing? Brandon and Marie are with us this morning. And it's a blessing to have them here. I trust we can worship. That's our goal and our aim this morning, to worship the Lord. It was a busy weekend, and for many of us. And I've been thinking about our congregation here at Sandy Ridge. So for you visitors, this message is for you as well, but I was thinking about our home people this morning. And it is directed specifically to us here at Sandy Ridge. But I believe the message is for all Christians. And what stirred my thoughts was that over the past several months, and I'm stepping out on a limb here a little bit, I'm doing some assuming here, but it has been my observation that we are becoming a tired, weary people, sort of. What do I mean by that? I think sometimes my observation has been that we are actually tired. Like, we are, it's hard to stay awake, and physically we're weary. But I wonder sometimes, there's this thought runs through my mind, that are we spiritually tired as well? Are we getting weary in our journey? Are you tired because of life? Is life become heavy? I was chatting with people on Friday evening. We had the privilege of being at the Elkhart VBS, and it was a blessing. Really was to be there. And I was just made aware again of the enormous amount of energy, effort that it takes for that to be a successful ministry. Now, we all know that God's hand has been in that ministry. We would readily acknowledge that it is His ministry, it's His work. But He uses us, He uses you, those of you that are regularly involved up there. He uses you to do the work that He has so graciously made happen for us, for His glory, for His honor. And as I was chatting with several people there was a common comment or thread that came out of the conversations, and it was something to this effect: I'm ready for a break. It's been a long year. I'm tired. And it took a lot of energy, especially towards the end here. It was just a little bit harder. Seemed like maybe the children didn't want to behave as well, or things to that effect. That's not verbatim. But that's the idea. So they were weary. Not all of us are involved in that kind of a ministry. Some of us have been involved in ministry and understand what it feels like to become very weary in serving others. A lot of you are mothers and fathers. A lot of you have children that you need to pay attention to, that take a lot of your time, your energy, your your focus is there. And so this message is also for you. Your ministry to your children, if we can say that. Some of you have teenagers and understand that that's an extra level of intensity that needs to happen. Your attention needs to be placed at an extra level of intensity with your teenagers. Not because they're... It's just that way with teenagers, isn't it? Parents, it's just that way. You just have to pay attention. And we get weary. We get tired. And life can become heavy. Some of you are business owners. And you have employees under you. You have people that answer to you. You are responsible for their well-being, as it were, in this life. You provide for them a job. And if you are that, if you work in that capacity, you understand the pressures that come from that, the demands on your life. And sometimes you get tired and it's heavy and we run out of gas and we run on fumes. I don't know where you're at this morning, whatever capacity you are. Maybe I didn't mention them. But it is my sense this morning that we are a tired people. In fact, I already see people nodding off. I'll make it short. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. My goal this morning is to encourage us. Encourage us. And I've entitled the message, Facing the Weariness in Well-Doing. Facing our weariness in our well-doing. That's another way of saying it. And let's just be honest. Can we just be honest this morning that sometimes we are there. We're just weary. We are downright weary. We're weary physically. We're weary emotionally. We're shot. Spiritually, we're empty. And those combinations are never, ever a healthy place to be at. They're never healthy. But we find ourselves there betimes, sometimes. And I sense maybe we are there as a congregation somewhat this morning. We are a busy people. And I just want to say, listen to me very carefully, brothers and sisters, friends, this morning. I am not against being busy. In fact, I am for being busy. I think we ought to be busy. But when we are busy at the expense of our physical and emotional and spiritual well-being, I think we ought to face our weariness honestly and maybe take inventory of where we're at in our emotional and spiritual and physical fuel cells, so that we can minister well, so that we can do well in the capacities that God has placed us in. Whether it's being a parent, being a boss or a business owner, or being involved in missions somewhere, that kind of thing. When we operate on empty, we don't do well at all. I'm going to read. My text is short this morning. It's one verse. And it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And you all know it. You all are very familiar with this verse. And this is what it says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If I were to ask you to quote that, most of you could have quoted that. You could have said the verse by memory. We read it, we understand it, and we know it by heart. But what does it mean when Paul says, and let us not be weary in well-doing? Are you weary in your well-doing this morning? There's two things that I would like to point out from this verse. The first one is this. Paul is not telling us, brothers and sisters, that it is wrong for us to be weary in well-doing. That's not what Paul is telling us. In fact, Paul himself, in 2 Corinthians, talks very in great detail about the weariness that he was experiencing as he was ministering to the different churches. He said, we were actually sort of perplexed. We had persecution on this side, and we had danger on this side, and we had opposition coming this way, and we had all manner of things that were happening to us, and we were weary. And he talks, later on he talks about being in travail for their spiritual birth, working hard, daily and nightly in prayer, working. And he was weary. Epaphroditus worked himself to a frazzle on the behalf of Paul. You can read about it in Scripture. So Paul isn't telling us this morning, let us not be weary. Don't be weary. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't be weary in the sinister, wicked, Satan, doubting-induced way. Don't be weary that way. Because you see, the first way of being weary is when we're willing to be poured out as a sacrifice because of what Christ has done for us, the grace that we have received and are receiving, and we're pouring it out to other people, we're extending that, we're living the life of Christ towards others. That kind of weariness still retains and holds on to the joy of the Lord and the peace that passeth all understanding. That's the weariness that is okay. But is that where you're at this morning? Are you weary because you have expended yourself for the sake of the gospel, for the cause of Christ, you've expended yourself? Or is it because you're weary because you've allowed yourself to focus incorrectly on maybe the circumstances around you, the things that are happening to you? You see, Paul acknowledged that there were bad things happening to him, but that's not where he focused. He didn't remain there. Have you retained your joy and your peace in your weariness? Or are you just burned out, totally burned out? You can't go anymore. In fact, in your private life, maybe you've come to the place where you say it's not worth it. But you would never let the rest of us know. You would never let us know. Because there's still a little bit of pride in us that says, I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm burned out. I'm done. That's the kind of weariness that Paul is talking about when he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. That kind of weariness has let go of the joy of the Lord. No longer is the joy of the Lord evident in my life when it's that kind of weariness. And let us not be weary in well-doing. When we come to that place in our lives, if you're there this morning, there is nothing that Satan wants more than to keep you there. He wants you to be empty. He wants you to be dull. He wants you to be lacking spiritually. He doesn't want you to lead your family. He doesn't want you to minister well. And the way he does that is he makes you look at things around you. He makes you look at what you're feeling on the inside, the weariness that you're feeling. He brings about self-pity in your heart and helps you wrap your hands around that in only the way he can. And before you know it, The joy of the Lord is no longer there, and His peace is gone. And yet we come to church Sunday mornings and we act like everything is okay. But there's this subtle part of us that oozes out. There's frustrations that come out. Our attitude has an edge to it. Our conversations are just a little bitter. And we're just a little wore out. And we snap pretty quick. If you're not sure if that's what's happening, ask your wife or your husband. Your children will tell you, "Dad, you're just really grouchy lately." That's a sure way to find out. Ask your friends. They'll tell you. And if you find yourself there, chances are that you are weary in well-doing in the sense that Paul is talking. And he warns us. He is right in warning us to not be there, to not go there. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Moses is an example of a man in Scripture that became well-doing. And you know what the thing is? The weariness in well-doing is just that. We are doing well. We're doing right things. We're doing good things. But we're not maintaining this, you see. This relationship is lacking. Because we're too busy. Moses was given charge of this entire group of people. We're not talking Sandy Ridge group of people. We're talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that he was in charge of. And he was asked to judge them, to rule them. He couldn't handle it. He was getting burned out. His father-in-law finally came to him and said, "Moses, you can't do it all." He was doing a good thing, weary in well-doing. Moses took his advice. My question to you this morning, to me, are you getting burned out? Are you taking too much on yourself? And are you becoming weary in your well-doing? Learn to delegate. Learn to say, "I have limits. I can't do it all." It's okay. It's okay to not be superhuman. It is okay. Moses did. But I suspect Moses wouldn't have if his father-in-law wouldn't have sat him down and said, "Moses, you can't do it. You've got to have help." And Moses said, "You're right." Elijah. So that's one way. Moses, there was no end in sight for Moses. You just imagine this. Day in and day out, he was judging the people. He was ruling the people. Like he was hearing all their complaints. He was hearing all their needs and everything. He had to be the ruler. He was doing it day in and day out. There was no let up. We feel that sometimes. It's day in and day out. This demand, and here I go, and I need to be here, and my wife and family are sitting at home, and I need to go here because that's my responsibility. And we get burnt. You see how you begin to focus? You begin to start focusing inward, self-pity, me, myself, and I, poor me. And that's exactly what Satan wants. We need to learn our limitations. Moses did. Elijah. On Mount Carmel, we know the story, and it's been said over and over the pulpits. But the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, Elijah just had an enormous spiritual high. He just called fire down from heaven. And all he did was, that's all he did. And fire came and consumed everything. Proving that God is who God is. And what did he do? Right after that, someone tell him. What did he do? He ran for his life. Why? Why did he run for his life? One little threat. Weary and well-doing. And what did he say? He said, "God, I want to die. I would rather die." Why? Elijah, you were just used. You were just used. And you had one queen say, kill the man, or whoever it was, kill the man, and I'm running. Does it sound familiar? A little opposition, and we run. You see how quickly we go in, and the joy of the Lord is quenched because we're afraid. We fear what may happen. We're no longer trusting God. Or we can be a Jonah and be bitter. We can be bitter over our circumstances. Fear can rob us of faith and joy. Bitterness about our circumstances can rob us of the same joy. Has God brought you through a difficult time? See, Jonah finally did what God asked him to do. Was used. In fact, he was so effectively used that the people of Nineveh all repented. And that displeased Jonah because he didn't really want to be there in the first place. You see? You see the attitude? Well, I'll do it. You see how bitterness comes in, my circumstances, and then the vine grew up, and then it died, and then he got mad at that. You see how easily we become weary in well-doing because of our bitterness, our circumstances, we're focusing incorrectly. I don't know where you're at. How do we refuel when we're at that place where we're empty? Jonah was empty. Elijah was empty. Moses was strung out. Paul was tired, but he was praising the Lord in spite of his tiredness. Is your joy and peace still intact this morning? Or is it gone? Is it easy for you to check out? When was the last time you sat down and took inventory of your life? Is it hard to think about who you are becoming? Are you weary? Are you developing an edge? Is your attitude rotten? Are you frustrated? And does that frustration ooze out at times? And people feel it and they sense it. Maybe it bursts out, your frustration bursts out because you are weary. You're just running on empty. I would like to end this message with words of encouragement. How do we refuel and refill when we're empty? These are the words of a pastor that was well known. One Sunday morning, he got up, and this is what he read to his congregation. He said, "I'm tired and I'm broken. I just need some rest." Pastor Pete Wilson said those words when he announced his resignation from Cross Point Mega Church in Nashville, Tennessee. He went on to say this. He said, "When leaders who are empty lead, they don't lead very well." And he said, "I've been leading on empty for a long time." Now, you're not a pastor. Most of you aren't a pastor this morning. But you understand what I'm saying. And you know as well as I do that if we're running on empty, we don't do well in the capacities that God has asked us to. And there is no way out of doing it well for the Lord. When we become born again, brothers and sisters, we take on the life of Christ. And Jesus is our example. He pours Himself into us through His Holy Spirit. While He was here on earth, He ministered continually to people. He was weary, but he never lost the connection with God the Father. He was always full. He was always ready. There were times when he had to go away. When you and I became Christians, we embraced that lifestyle. It is our responsibility to stay connected with God the Father through Christ Jesus. But when was the last time you took the time to stay connected? You see, that's the simple answer. But that's the hard answer too. We're so busy. We're so busy in well-doing often that we don't even have time to connect. We don't have time to sit down for a half a day, for one half day in solitude and connect with our Lord. That's my final point that I want to make. Try solitude for one half day. Be quiet before the Lord and see what happens. I can already see the arguments racing through your head. I can't do that. What am I going to do for a whole half a day in solitude? What am I going to do? Nothing. Quiet before the Lord. I was talking with a brother about this recently. And he made a comment like this. He said, you know what? I think we're half afraid of that word solitude. Not many of us want to go away for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours just to connect with our Lord. We can't bring ourselves to do it. Because what would we do? I asked the brother, well, what would you do? He said, well, he started singing. He would sing. Take your Bible along. Read Scripture back to the Lord. Acknowledge your gratitude back to Him for what He's done in your life. Maybe you've just come through VBS and a whole year of teaching and struggling in Elkhart. Sit back and reflect on that year, on the good and the bad, and say it back to the Lord. Say, God, You brought us through that. You were good to us. Those kind of things. Bring your heart in tune with the Lord quietly. That job will wait. In fact, I believe on the times that I've done it, on occasion that I've done just a quiet time, I haven't gone a half a day, but a couple hours. I'm ready to go. It feels good. And somehow my spirit is quiet. And I can now minister to my family a whole lot better. People see there's a difference. But if we don't do it, brothers and sisters, on a regular basis, I'm not saying it has to be solitude all the time. But try it sometime. At least every day, sometime alone with the Lord, in your closet, being there with Him, talking, communicating. That's how you refill your emptiness. If you're running on empty this morning and you're feeling weary, burned out, that's the common phrase we hear. Burned out. I'm burned out. I'm just done. I need a break. Just as the pastor did. There is nothing wrong with acknowledging that you need a break. And then seek the Lord. You know what? Part of my thought process was that we're coming up to summer vacation time. Can I just say this to you? Listen to me carefully and you will hear what I'm saying. I say it graciously and lovingly. You will never connect with your Savior on that deep level by going on vacation and getting away from it all. I'm not against vacations. I love them. I take them. You will rarely, I should maybe clarify, you will rarely connect with your Lord and Savior the way that you ought to by just getting away from it all. You see how subtle and how easy it is for our heart to deceive us? All of a sudden, we're weary. I need a break. And we can justify doing this or this or this or this. And we refuse to go to this and to this and to pray and to cry out to the Lord for help. We go do this or this or this. And it soothes the edges of our weariness for a time until we come back in the rat race. And again, we're on edge and we're uptight. You see what I'm saying? My concern for us at Sandy Ridge this morning is that we learn to fill ourselves correctly when we're burned out. I'm not getting on anybody's case for being burned out. I've been there. In fact, I sort of feel it now. Just kind of. When I feel that, when you feel that, what will you do? Will you go on vacation? Will you pursue? You see, it's easy then, and some of you will recognize this, to compromise. Well, I have served faithfully all year. I've done this and I've done that. I deserve this. I can compromise this just a little bit. You know what happens? That's when we break down spiritually. There's a lot of spiritual leaders that have fallen because they've compromised. They have said in their minds, their hearts have convinced them that they deserve a little bit of a diversion. And I can go do this. I can indulge in this just a little bit and I'm okay. Instead of going to this quietly before the Lord. So in your emptiness, do you quickly turn towards the Lord or do you pursue other things? And hear me clearly. If you've got a vacation plan, don't cancel it. Go. I'm not against vacation. I'm just worried that that's maybe where we go quickly. We want to get away from it all. Why don't you take some time out in the woods? There's mosquitoes out there now. You don't want to go out there now. But take some time away quietly. Come before the Lord. Praise Him. Worship Him. Speak back to Him your frustrations. Tell Him about it. Ask Him for help to do the right thing. Let Him fill you. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, you know this verse. Actually, verses 28 and 29 says, this is Jesus talking. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. Then He says this. I want you to catch this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your what? Soul. Unto your soul. That's where it matters, brothers and sisters. The rest in your soul. Are you running on empty this morning? Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. You know what? Elijah heard God when He finally came in a still small voice. Elijah heard Him. And in Hebrews, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek the Lord in your emptiness. Let Him fill that void when you're feeling that tension, when you feel like you've served enough, you've given everything you can, and there's still more required of you, and you start feeling that tension, that anxiety, that fear come in. Go to the Lord and be refueled by Him, and then serve well. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the invitation to come to you through Jesus. Thank you that He is meek and lowly, that He cares about the emptiness, the running on fumes. He cares about the difficulties, the fears and the anxieties. the insecurities